Blog Talk Radio.
Dedicate our lives to this sport. We do thousands of sit-ups in camp. We run hundreds of miles, you know, for the ones that take it serious. And we just dedicate ourselves fully to our craft, man. We watch tape. We have attitude. We move it, and we go into that fight and to land on the line.
Banter podcast returns, and of course we are here to talk everything NBA finals related. Last night, Golden State, you know, finished off the sweep, and just how game three went, I guess you could put game one in there as well, but especially once game three wasn't successful enough to get the W for the Cavs, you pretty much knew the writing was on the wall. I mean, unless you're a Cavs diehard, you thought, no, man, we can win a game. We can get this. We can do this. You know, I mean, there is some of that still out there. You know, I'm sure it was still out there that they can get a game out of it. Heading into the series, whether it was going to be a sweep, whether it was going to be a five-game series, we all kind of knew, you know, what was going to take place, just based off roster for roster. So we are going to do our final NBA final show. Now, it's not the NBA final show. I just totally screwed you guys up. You don't know what the hell I'm talking about. As far as the NBA finals, we're going to recap it today, but we do have two shows remaining. In a little bit after the draft, we're going to do an NBA draft podcast, break it all down, whether it's people reaching, whether it's home runs hit, and that could be trades as well. You know, I expect there to be a fair amount of trades. I mean, there's a whole lot of potential free agent movement as well this year. So that's this summer, I should say, not necessarily this year. Well, I guess this year would be this summer, right? But as we know, a lot of people have their eyes already peeled on that, just skipping the draft somewhat and just being like, hey, man, this free agent class is, you know, is pretty crazy. So we will do an NBA draft show. And then sometime in early July, we're going to do an NBA free agency show. And like I said, it's so busy this week or this summer for the free agency that we could do one July 7th, right? When everybody's done whining and dining and we feel like the major pieces have either stayed put or moved. Some of the trades maybe from the draft or after that kind of working out stuff has settled. Some of the dust has settled, but you never know. There could be a trade a couple weeks after that, and we do a surprise emergency show. Everybody's calling their podcast emergency podcast now when news breaks or something like that. So you never know. But as far as the NBA podcast, we have two shows after this remaining. And if you're new to this NBA podcast, you know, it starts late April. It's called the College Ball Show for a good part of the year. So we start with college football late August. We run that all the way to January for the national title game. Then we switch to college basketball. That's why we call it the College Ball Show. So then we go college basketball from January all the way to April. And then in April, we switch into what we're in right now, NBA, right? The NBA Playoffs Banter Podcast, takes you all the way through the finals, the draft, and free agency. And like I said, if this is your first time listening, we still got a handful of shows left, so stay with us. But then make sure you regroup, take several weeks off, enjoy your summer, and then come back to us in the late summer for the College Ball Show. But we are under the Rope-A-Dope Radio Podcast umbrella, so we stream the show live right here. We stream it live on blogtalkradio.com/Rope-A-Dope Radio. We stream it live, and it also archives, but we're available on iTunes, a.k.a. Apple Podcasts. Player FM is a great source. Get a lot of listens from there. Spreaker, Stitcher, TuneIn is another good source that we get it through. And also through TuneIn, you can listen to us on Spotify through the TuneIn app, just so you know, as far as searching and all that. We're also part of the Grueling Truth Sports Podcast Network. They're available everywhere, including iHeartRadio. So if you're big into iHeartRadio, check out the Grueling True Sports Podcast. They also have a really good app for Spreaker. But yeah, go ahead and visit thegruelingtruth.net. That's thegruelingtruth.net. They're basketball, football, boxing, baseball, all sorts of stuff. That's thegruelingtruth.net. They got a great sponsor over there, mybookie.ag. That's mybookie.ag. Go listen to a pod, you know, read a blog or article, and then put a bet in, too, while you're at it. It's a one-stop shop, okay? So anyway, last night, as I said, the writing was on the wall after Game 3. I'm going to bring in my co-host Marshall here in just a moment. But, I mean, the writing was on the wall. I mean, we already knew the series was not going to be that competitive. As far as the games played, because, you know, games one and games three were definitely highly competitive and had, especially game one, had all sorts of drama that did lead into more drama that King James in the rest of the locker room, nobody got the information out about him slamming the chalkboard, which in today's, you know, sports and media and social media and everything, man, everything leaks. So that was kind of a surprise to hear that. I did see him favoring that hand a couple times in the series, but I thought it was just kind of random. But yeah, we're here. We're going to recap it. Like I said, it's not going to be an hour and a half of recap because, you know, it's over. It's over. We all knew the Western Conference Final between the Golden State Warriors, the 2018 champions, and Houston Rockets. We knew that that was the conference final. Like I talked about on the last show we did, that I almost labeled it as that just because we knew it. So, you know, we had a sweep. Golden State really, like I said, the writing was on the wall, so game four was already written in my mind. And you could tell just how it went down. And once they broke open a big lead, they really put it on Cleveland. And when you're at the end of series like this, it's actually not that big of a surprise just because you're human. You're down 3-0. You're down 12 points, and you're like, man, we're fucked. Even if we win tonight, we're going back to Oakland, so we're not going to win this thing anyway. It's kind of a human behavior type thing. It happens. I'm not going to say they quit, but like quit knowing they quit, but subconsciously they were already bleeding out on the ground, laying there, and they're, you know, and no one was around. They were going to die. But I'll say this. So congratulations to the Golden State Warriors. At least they did get tested in the conference final, which is more than at the beginning of the season a lot of people thought. That's the random kind of spot that the NBA finds themselves in. They got a dominant team that we've seen with the Lakers as far as back-to-back stuff. Of course, the Spurs having won five championships over a 10-year, you know, chunk, that's a franchise too. But to do it in 3 and 4 years, you know, 3 out of 4 years, that's obviously a dynasty. We saw it with the Lakers when they went 3 in a row. We saw it with the Bulls when they went 3 in a row. Then Houston won 2 in a row, and then 3 in a row from the Bulls again. And so the NBA, it's kind of a strange thing. And Marshall, I'm kind of going long like I do once in a while. I'm going to get to you, I promise. And you're going to really have a lot of the show because you're a Golden State Warriors fan. I always, you know, have been when they were down, which I can respect a whole lot. And I'm going to let you just kind of get all your stuff out that you want to get because you got to be damn happy, no doubt about it. And, you know, it's a bit of a, you know, people love dominant teams, late 90s Yankees. They love the shit. Now, the hardcore fans, it may not feel as rewarding or gratifying because you already know what's going to take place. But you also can't hate on it. It is good for the league because, like I said, you know, the ratings were a little bit different this year just because Cleveland didn't have the Kyrie Irving. They didn't have – nobody really kind of thought they had a shot, whereas at least in years past, you could make an argument. You know what I mean? Even last year going into it, you felt Golden State was going to win, but because they had added Durant. But you felt, okay, this could be at least – they could win maybe a game or two or something like that. But it is a kind of a weird scenario where you have a team that nobody's going to beat, but yet the popularity keeps going up. People love it. They love to see it. And especially this year when you actually got them to have to go to Game 7 against Houston. And I think as long as Houston either stays intact or adds, which I'd assume they're going to probably add something. You got to nowadays. If you're going to stay with Golden State, you got to add something. How do you beat a super team? You got to have a legit super team, and I wouldn't even call Houston some sort of super team, you know, how they're built right now, and they pushed them to 7. So I think that drama of, yeah, but no Chris Paul, game 6, game 7, keeps them in the NBA still on the up and up, and with the Celtics, with Philly, with wherever the hell LeBron goes, with the Timberwolves, oh, forget it. You know, it does create that hope because the last couple of seasons of the NBA, the NBA seasons, have been damn entertaining. We've had a couple of people like Westbrook and Harden put on some crazy displays of stats, right? Especially coming from those two dudes. If you look 5 years ago and you think, so these two dudes are going to be that type of player? Holy crap, I never would have guessed they would have spread the ball that much and be that effective at times. But yeah, it, you know, I'm not a hater, but I can't say that I was just jazzed for this series, and here's why. You know, at the end of the Bulls run, you know, like the 2 years, like once they won it again, and then that other year, the 95-96 was like, yeah, they're going to win again. I'm literally at a party, and in the background, the game's on. Because we already know, we've watched basketball since we were kids, we already know who's going to win. So it's not that we are hating on the Bulls. We're paying attention to it. It's there, but we're not, like, hanging on to every second of the game. Now, if it's a close game, that's different, but it's just kind of on in the background. And last night had that feeling of, I mean, I worked, but I wasn't quite at a party like the one I was talking about. Same with the end of the Lakers, you know. And you could tell that fourth year that they tried to do it in a row, you could tell they weren't going to be able to do it because they had old-ass Gary Payton and old, even older-ass Karl Malone in their starting lineup. And it was like, okay, dude, they're not going to do this. I mean, even the Timberwolves, without Sam Cassell, who was an all-star point guard that year, they even pushed them to 6 off of that. You know, so you knew they weren't going to probably win the championship. In fact, the Spurs had a better team, I thought, until that, you know, that quick little shot that Fisher hit, where he hit it with like .03 and then dipped to the locker room. But anyway, I can't help but to think and feel that way. But luckily, the NBA is healthy right now. And the style of play, you know, the way it's evolved, but it's also kind of, you know, we have enough young players that it's going to be able to, you know. And obviously LeBron is still doing, I mean, this run he had in the playoffs is just silly. But I'm gonna shut up and just let my co-host go for a while. Marshall, you know, 3 years or three championships in 4 years. The one thing I'll say, and I've said this on the show plenty of times, is I'd rather, if a series is going to go five or six and the games suck, you know, a six-game series, who gives a shit if they're all blowouts on the other sides? And we've mentioned this because we've had that, especially last year at times. We had that in the playoffs, and it's like, okay, once we get to seven, that's awesome because you're never going to bitch about a game seven, right? You're like, anything can happen. It's true. Injury, fouls, whatever. Hot play, someone goes off, whatever. But at least game one and game three had a whole lot of intrigue, and it was tight, it was competitive, it was fun to watch. So I'll say the saving grace for these finals from a, not a common fan, well, the common fan got intrigued out those two games, exact, no doubt, but at least it had something for the hardcore fans too. And so I am very happy with that games one and game three were really competitive and had drama, and, you know, coming off of both conferences having game seven. So it was a very successful year in general for the league as a fan. My Timberwolves got back in the playoffs, which, whoa, that's crazy. But overall, you know, beyond this point, we'll talk a little bit about it. But let's just talk about how you're feeling as a Golden State fan. And you know, it's kind of strange off of a finals when the biggest debate is who's the MVP. You can tell a dominant team has, you know, has stranglehold the NBA, Marshall, when our biggest debate is, well, who the hell won the MVP? You know what I mean? But how are you feeling on this dreary Minnesota morning, afternoon, I should say. It's kind of morning for me still, I guess. But how you feeling, buddy? Another championship to put up on the mantle.
I'm feeling good, man. I'm actually down in Texas for a wedding today, but I think I'll be flying up tomorrow. So we will need to make a return to Canterbury. It has been too long since you and I have gone to watch horse races. I'm in the horse
God
races
bless.
Today with that Triple
good
Crown
call.
Coming up. But yeah, we'll make our Canterbury run here because I'll be home for the summer. You know, I'm excited, obviously. I think out of the teams I've cheered for in my life that have won titles, basically, it's been Golden State. I've kind of enjoyed watching Real Madrid and soccer with a buddy and the Tar Heels. Like, all the title games have always been, like, close and competitive. So I hate to sound, like, you know, selfish or greedy, but, like, there wasn't a part of me last night that was like, oh, man, Cavs are going to come back from 3-0, you know. You get so used to, especially the way we've been treated with, like, Super Bowls lately or national title games in college basketball, like, you get into the game and there's like moments of like craziness and you're like, oh man, who's going to win? And it becomes such a drama. I just kind of sat back last night and I was like, well, I'd heard reports and just from like reports saying that it meant a lot to Golden State to win that game four last night. They wanted to get a sweep because they felt they'd let it slip last year. I mean, yeah, some guys still pissed off. They'd even lost to the Cavs a couple years ago. So I think when I heard that I think it was Draymond Green and Clay saying, we need to end this tonight. I think their quote was like, we want to make their locker room smell like champagne. When I heard that, I was kind of like, dude, I think they are going to come out and take care of business. Because last year in game four, when it was down 3-0, the Cavs hit like 24 threes and the Dubs got murdered and there was like 70 foul shots that game. So I think the mindset that Golden State had last night was, dude, screw this. Let's run on their home court. I think there was a drive that they'd had for, you know, whatever reasons, whether it be the losing a couple of years ago or not sweeping them or whatever. I think that increased them to put in the effort to get it done last night, and they did. I mean, besides the nice run Cleveland had at the end of the first quarter last night, it was there wasn't a lack of effort. You didn't see the sloppy, lackadaisical Golden State, which you've seen at times. It was Steph, Clay, Durant, I mean, Draymond, Iguodala hit a lot of threes for a guy they weren't covering because they had other people to match up with. So it was a fun win. I'll never ever, like, just be like, oh, no big deal, like, your team won a title, because being a sports fan, you can never take that for granted. It's just I wasn't used to just kind of a butt kicking. But the reason that did happen was mainly throughout the series was the defensive issues Cleveland had was embarrassing. If you were to watch film on the series, Chris, I don't know how many times in the series Cleveland would Golden State would run a pick and roll or set a back screen on someone, and you'd see a dude just walking up to the rim for a layup and no one there. The defensive switching ability, or I should say lack of ability by Cleveland, to me was the biggest part of the series, because LeBron did about all he could. He kept his team in the games. He had guys where, you know, moments where Green or Love would make and hit threes. Like, he did his part. But the defensive lostness, if that's even a word, of J.R. Smith is just sad. There were so many times where, like, dude, all it is a pick and roll. Like, you need to talk on defense. And I didn't think they did that at all. I don't know how that happens, where you had Cleveland, Chris, who was busting their butt to make shots. I mean, obviously, LeBron can manufacture his own, and he's an incredible passer. But they, you know, Golden State's a pretty good defense. But a lot of the points Golden State made were like, dude, you're not going to cover us on a switch? Okay, here you go, free layup. And I just saw that happen so much. And it was like, I know Cleveland's not a superstar defensive team, but I thought they should have done a better job of communicating. You can't give up free layups on bad pick and roll coverage or down screens when you're in the NBA Finals. Like, you should be above that. Because, I mean, defensively, they weren't that bad against Boston. So I think maybe to wrap up.
Yeah, but
this
that's
point
a different
maybe
Boston team. You know, they're a lot less offensive threat than,
true,
you know, anybody
yes.
from the West, you know. I mean, we knew they were garbage all year on defense, so it's really no surprise.
Yeah, I guess it's just glaring to me how many open shots they had. I mean, I'm not saying that I expected something a whole lot better, but when you give up free layups in the NBA, you can't afford to do that. But you had a tremendous amount of talent on the court, and it's another year where the best team in the league won. In game one, Durant had a hideous game, but the Steph and Clay and Dre came. In game two, the team played together pretty well. In game three, Steph and Clay had bad games, and then Durant went off. And Iguodala comes back, and all he does is basically bother LeBron about as good as you can for a defender. So there's just so many pieces to that team. And a guy that doesn't get talked about much and had an awesome series was JaVale McGee. The dude didn't play in the Houston series at all. And then he comes in game one and becomes a factor in the third quarter to get the guys going. He started the game last night with, I think, 6 out of the first 12 points, because all he does is hustle and camp around the rim, because all he can really need to do is put up rebounds or out-hustle someone with the ball or make a dunk. And he did a phenomenal job of that. So there's just so many pieces of a great team that makes them that way. Clay, I mean, that dude, he does it every year. I think if you're an average basketball fan, I don't think many people get how good the guy is, because not many people talk about him much. It's basically, you know, for being an all-star, because I think Durant and Steph overtake that shadow. I think Draymond Green's a much more polarizing guy. Clay is pretty quiet, but I mean, I could go on. It was a great series, and I think they wanted to get the sweep done. They accomplished that. It doesn't do a whole lot of good now, but, I mean, game one, I was scared to death. It would have been, I don't think it would have been a 4-1 series if Cleveland had won game one. That was a game where, as a Golden State fan, I was just lucky and blessed we made it through it, Chris. I mean, obviously the J.R. Smith blunder, which – went on to make Twitter people with gift happy, you know, for probably until Christmas. I mean, that was a mistake that you can't make. And I've heard some people say, well, you know, you get caught up in the moment. It's like, well, dude, if you're trying to win a championship, there's really not a good excuse.
It didn't happen in one moment. It didn't happen all in one moment. You know what I mean? Like, there was on the line, and it wasn't you. So you didn't have to focus on the free throw. You knew what was going on. Like, it didn't happen all in one motion. There was dead play. There was a whistle. You know what I mean? Like, it was real easy. It wasn't all one motion. It was very easy to see what was going on in the game.
Yeah.
You know? I just can't believe, like, that right there, after that moment, it was like, LeBron's gone. There's just no way around it. And then when he found out that they had a timeout God, he's like, yeah, now I'm really gone. And I don't think I'm going to have my jersey retired in the rafters either now. Fuck that. I'm not doing that. You know, that's what it felt like. It was like, ooh, dude, like, oh, it's over. Like, once I saw JR do that, I said, yeah, LeBron's gone.
Yep. And from that moment, the series did change because you knew as a Golden State fan, or as maybe just as anyone, you're like, oh, Cleveland just blew their chance. And then Golden State ran them out the gym in overtime.
When it really wasn't even a chance to win the series. It's just a chance to extend it, like you said, and maybe push it to six or something like that. You never know. That's true.
Yeah, it maybe could have gone that far.
It gives you a big advantage,
I mean,
winning game one.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely, yeah. And
they played really well in game three. You know, a good chunk of that game, man. They played really well. I'd say the biggest thing with Golden State is in future years, they got to kick it in the ass earlier. They got to kick themselves in the ass because they got the talent. It's easy. You know, I think this year is a learning experience for them, too. Because they know now, all right, dude, we know we got the superior talent, but we can't just run out on the court. First quarters have to be more important to them. They can't rely on that third quarter, but they might as well get some sort of third quarter slogan to define this year, dude. You know what I mean? They really should.
Yeah.
They got to get some sort of slogan or punchline or something. Because you know what they say, oh, second half team, fourth quarter team. No. The Golden State Warriors 2017-2018 was a third quarter team. And that was their quarter to say, fuck you. That was fun. That was nice. We're superior by. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I mean, obviously, I mean, you got to give credit to Kerr. I mean, if people are always going to give glory and praise to Phil Jackson, I mean, I know it's easy to have a team of tremendous talent, but he has a way of managing people. Because I think sometimes in sports you get stuck in an issue with a coach of being, how do I get all these people to accept roles? Like, obviously everyone wants to be part of the team. Like, a guy like JaVale McGee didn't see the court for seven games, but then you call on him, and the dude played a tremendous role in the series. I'm not saying he was Durant or Steph, but, I mean, in game three at halftime, he made an impact. And last night he made an impact. So I think
Thompson. Just to be able to keep Thompson interested and be like, hey, dude, I know this is weird for you. This is weird. You get less shots, and sometimes you go through long stretches where you're not hitting shit, and you are a different player now, but we need you to just stay around and stay glued in. So when we need you, then all of a sudden you'll have your time to go off, and you can tell at times in these playoffs it will be his night, you know?
Yeah, and he did that for us. Eight games in the series where he did do his thing, and when he gets hot, he's just as dangerous as any of them. So it's just an abundance of riches. It's a nice run. I mean, there's really no more compliments I can say that we've not spoken of yet. They had better talent. They played better defense, and they were going up against one guy, and they had about the next four or five best players. So. Another great win. You don't see much changing. I mean, hypothetically, Durant could leave because he could, but I don't think
he already said he's not
going to.
He already said he's not leaving.
he's coming back. Steph is locked up. Draymond's locked up. I think Clay is a free agent after the end of next year, so you got the whole team coming back. I could see a guy like David West retiring. I mean, he's been in the league now for 16, 17 years. He's been the part of two journeys now. I mean, if he's in good enough shape, he can do maybe three, but I don't see what much more he can do. Sean Livingston, I pray to God that guy stays for as long as they stay at unit, because all he does is make 7-foot shots around the hoop and never misses them. He was, set a record, I think, for being one of the only guys to take over 10 shots in the first two games of the finals and not miss any. He was like 11 for 11 in the first two games, I think shot 80% in the series. So I think besides Livingston, though, you could look to maybe improve the bench. You assume they're going to get, pushed hard by someone next year. So I think besides Livingston and Iggy, I think you could find ways to upgrade it. I mean, Nick Young is nothing special.
I don't think you should play Iggy until about February. I think you just let him lounge, keep him working out, keep him in the hot, the ice tub and all that, and then February take out Iggy and get the rust out of him for the playoff.
That dude's so special.
That way he's fresh. Two things for you.
Sure.
Obviously, we can't. I want to debate the MVP, and then I also want. We got to kind of. Game 6 and Game 7 is different with Chris Paul. I mean, if you can't admit that, then I don't
Agreed.
Know what to tell you. Now, what does that make it different? We don't know. I'm not. You also can't just give people stuff either. So. That's different, and that's what keeps fans, especially the more hardcore basketball fans, going, if they just bring back their team, or even better, add to it as far as, from a Houston perspective, this is a budding rivalry right now, because how Houston's built it and how well they played him and how they know how to slow them down and make them work on defense. They also know how to make them work on offense because they're grinding them out. They had a 3-2 lead. Obviously, home court is going to be huge for next year, as we saw it in that series. So just based on, I really think, there's really not a ton of debate. I kind of want from your perspective, especially from the fandom of being a Golden State fan, looking back on those series, I'm not when I bring this up, I'm not saying it needs to be an asterisk. Don't think I'm coming from that angle. Now, I came from that angle on the first championship for obvious reasons, because when you're up 2-1 as a Cav and you don't have Kyrie and Love, that to me is different. When you can push someone 6 games, you don't have that, and I think it was proven the next year, right? So I'm not saying that's an asterisk, because that's not how it works, but if you're ever going to say there's an asterisk, that would be the one, I guess you could say. That's not how it works, though, in sports, because you can go down the list. But I'm not saying that at Game 6 and Game 7, but it's hard. Judging how that series was being grinded out in the style of play, and how you weren't seeing Golden State getting out there. They weren't able to move the ball because whether they were running an offense that they were stagnant, or, you also have to say the defense was forcing them not to be able to just pass. This is easy, it wasn't as much breaks. There wasn't as many fast breaks to move the ball like that. You can't just move the ball like that out of nowhere. You got to be able to have the free flow. You got to have people open to pass it to them and all that. So they slowed them down like really only Cleveland had slowed them down in 2015, as funny as it sounds, in a shades of 2016. But 2015, that was a defensive mentality. They were defensively strong that year, Cleveland was, especially when Kyrie and Love went out, because then that's basically what they had. They had to be hard-nosed. That's where Trish Thompson got paid. in the back of your head, that does linger as NBA fans, that Game 6 and Game 7. So I want you to kind of talk about that a little bit, but then also let's debate MVP. Now, last year, because of the all-purpose game of Curry, I thought Curry was the MVP. Because of his all-purpose game, I thought he did more, whereas Durant was bringing to do a handful of things, and one of them was score, especially in this situation. And he did that, and he keeps doing that. And that's what he's done his whole career, but it's just a lot easier for him to do that in that role. Whereas this year, he was actually more multi-purpose. I mean, he got a triple-double, his first triple-double ever in the playoffs. And he actually had the all-around game a little bit more this year than he did last year. So I actually thought Curry earned it last year, and it was just the point total that people looked at. Just to kind of give a little bit of a layer. All shut up. I want you to talk about Game 6, Game 7, not breaking it down, but just the idea of that. And then who do you think Curry should have won it this year instead of Durant? Or what? Because I think last year we were both on the same page that don't let the scoring numbers fool you. The all-purpose game, in my mind, was Curry last year, where I look at it, and I guess you could maybe say that about Durant this year. It's kind of strange. What's your take on this? And I know I know there's an extra layer because of some things that you have internally with Durant and also with Curry, so I think it stokes up some emotion that I like to hear from a friend, you know? Marshall, you there? Marshall?
Oh, hey, sorry.
Okay.
I hit the button on mute for a second.
I was like,
but
shit!
Yeah. There has been some tough parts of me judging KD. I won't lie. I've been rougher on him than probably most Golden State fans. Yeah, I think.
Well, just like you saying, he had a bad first game of the series when he went 26-9-6. But I regress. Go ahead.
His fourth quarter was awful. His fourth quarter
right.
was bad. So, and I think that if you.
But that's
you
not
look
what
numbers,
you said. That's why I cleared it up. Yeah, I agree with that part. But you said he had a shit game, which he didn't have a shit game.
Okay, well. No, the first half was fine, but the second half was scary, mainly fourth quarter when it mattered. I think if you look at the games, I think that Steph had a better game one. Durant obviously had a better game three. I think last night Steph showcased a little bit more. In game two, I thought it was pretty even. So I thought with Durant winning the MVP last year, and I think Curry having a slightly better game last night and a better game one, I thought they would have given him the MVP trophy. The one thing that absolutely pisses me off, Chris, and I saw this from a couple people who tweeted that voted for the MVP, was they gave Durant the MVP because they thought he delivered the dagger for the series in game three. Okay, if that's
who
your rationale
this?
Thinking.
Who said this?
It was... Rachel Nichols tweeted that her vote went that way along with other, they said there was 11 votes, and she said her vote went that way, and she said many others who voted for Durant, she didn't name names, but, I mean, you assume Rachel Nichols packed, whatever. Rachel Nichols and whoever else she spoke to said the swaying vote she took from the reason they won the MVP was because they believed that Durant dropped the dagger in game three, and that was the reason they voted him in. So besides Nichols, I don't know who else, but she said other people that she spoke to swung Durant's way, and it was a 7-4 vote. So 7 out of 4 took Durant. If that's your rationale of thinking, I seriously got to wonder if that was the smartest way. Because after the Dubs went up 2-0, they were like minus 1,500 to win the series. I don't think most people in their minds thought that even if Cleveland won a game – Game three.
The series was over before it started, if we're being honest.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So,
So it was done. Okay, maybe if LeBron had won game three, credit to them, sure. But I don't get how Durant dropped the hammer to save the team in game three, and that won him an MVP of what I've heard from, and that was the reasoning. I think you just have to look at who overall had a better series. I mean, obviously Durant's game three was sick, but Curry had a pretty good game one, game four. So I'm a little biased towards Curry. And obviously, but I mean, what Durant did was astonishing in game three. So I can see both sides, but their reason
and that's,
for giving
that
it
was
to Hooper,
truly a bad game. We can agree that was a bad full game for Curry, right?
Yes.
I mean, he shot horribly.
He hit the one huge three to go from one to four with a minute to go. Yes, but he had a bad game. Agreed. So I think if you put the numbers up, I think you could maybe lean either way. I would lean a little bit towards Curry because I thought what he did in game one and four was enough, but he had a bad game three. So it goes back and forth. And Durant won it, so be it. But the rationale thinking that he won it because he was the one that delivered the hammer in the series, I'm like, nah, dude, the series was over.
The hammer was delivered in summer of 2016.
Yeah.
Like,
so
if that's
that,
how you're
going to
judge
like,
it, I agree. I think that's
I
stupid.
Know.
Although it did look like, was that game three last year too? It looked like the same play though, didn't it? You know, in the feel of it, in a sense.
Yeah.
Like you're like,
Durant
did the same fucking thing last year in that game. I forgot. It kind of reminded
and
me.
It was
kind of
in the same part of the court too. Yeah, yeah.
Right,
now,
exactly.
Well,
it was really far. Yep. Good call.
Now, in regards to the Houston thing, I mean, I think if you ask every sports fan in their lifelong as a fan, injuries happen. Sometimes you get screwed. Sometimes you don't. I think Golden State got very lucky. I mean, looking back, I think they're – I'm not
they've
saying they would have won titles.
They've been very
but,
lucky. I mean,
yeah,
if you look at
been.
All their stars have never gone down. Only Iguodala they've had issues with. But like I said, he's not going to the Hall of Fame, so we can't even put that in the equation because it's about stars, you know?
Yeah, a lot of it just comes down to luck. And, I mean, but if you – talking of injuries, if you go back 7-8 years ago and you're asking people what kind of guy is Curry going to become – I bet a lot of people at some point said, dude, he's never going to be anything because of his ankles. I mean, this is a guy that they wouldn't have won titles, but they would have had more success earlier in the playoffs and as a team. But the dude couldn't make it through a season.
And they probably wouldn't have
watching.
Been able to add Durant either, you know, because he would have got a bigger contract.
Yeah, this was the guy where every time I'd watch a game and I'd see Curry roll an ankle, like you'd hear the announcers be like, oh, God. And I'd be like, oh, crap.
Right.
What's happening again? I mean, for two
even
and a half
to
years,
this day,
like,
you know, even to this day, you see, and you're like, uh-oh.
Yeah. So, injury, they suck. Now, for some reason, Golden State's been on a good wave of injuries because they haven't happened much. And, I mean, but that's just, it's a part of luck that, if you watch the Stanley Cup, every bounce went for Washington and Las Vegas lost. Like, it was just sometimes breaks go one way or another. And that's one part you can't control about sports.
But it is different when you're down 3-2 and then the injury takes place.
Sure.
That makes it a little different because we've already seen what was happening on the court. Now, does that mean that was going to keep happening? No. But it definitely is in the back of your head. Damn, it's hard not to think that Houston could have won one of those games with Paul.
You know what I mean? Yes, I agree, especially with Golden State being down 16 in the first quarter of both. I do think it would have been very –
I forgot to mention that. Shit.
Yeah.
I forgot to mention
now,
that. That really adds to it.
Yeah. Now, I mean, game six at home, I would have been overly impressed they could knock him out of home. But game seven, they were up 14. Kerr goes to the press or the on-court analyst after the first quarter and says we're playing like garbage and walks away. I mean, game one or game seven when you're down and Paul's in there, that's a whole different vibe. And as we said for so many times in the playoffs, that he's a guy that can slow down their offense or Harden,
and hit a mid-range shot, which is what they fucking needed so bad when they were missing all those threes. They needed about 4 minutes of Chris Paul to go, hey, just stop. Let me hit a 14-foot jumper a couple times, and let's just calm down, guys, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, because so, they had that historically bad three-point shooting thing, too. See, that really helps, though, the league, I believe, from the hardcore fan base, the one that's going to watch all year long, not just on ABC in the last, you know, chunk of the conference finals, you know what I mean? That really helped string us along to give us hope. We're already excited about the youth. We're already excited about what the Celtics could be. Although Kyrie Irving, oh my God, did you hear the reports, dude?
No.
There's reports, and I've heard it more than just Chris Mannix, that the Celtics are scared shitless right now. And if they're scared, then there's got to be a reason.
Sure.
That he's going to sign with the Knicks next year. That's
well,
a report that's
could.
Really heavy, which is ridiculously nuts. And it goes back to, well, Cleveland was smart to trade the dude if he does that. What the fuck? Like, that? No wonder they traded him. Look what they were dealing with. A mental case. If you trade yourself off of that team, what do you want to be? Do you want to be Boogie with no playoffs? Do you want to be Carmelo his last 8 years? Just a stat, dude? So you could be the number one guy? Like, what the hell? Could you imagine if he tried to get off of that Boston team, Marshall? I mean, what the hell? If that, oh my God, that'd be ridiculous, wouldn't it?
Maybe that's only getting mentioned with a rumor. Maybe he was, like, prompting a question because, you know, of LeBron's list of seven teams, Boston's one of them. So maybe someone asked him a question.
Yeah, he doesn't want – yeah, right? He's like, if he comes here, fuck that. I'm moving.
it would be funny if Kyrie's like, dude, I'm done playing with LeBron. Boston's like, hey, LeBron,
welcome
to town.
Dude. I want to be off a team with LeBron so much to be the man I'm willing to go to the Knicks. Oh, my God, that's worse than Timberwolves right now.
Hey, and can a man that, like, believes the Earth is flat, can he survive with New York media? I don't know.
Oh, my God. If he does,
but, I mean,
wow. Because, you know, a lot of people still hold on to the, you know, Cleveland, you know, in reality, they didn't need to trade him. I think that's bullshit. Because if a guy during the playoffs is not speaking to your other teammates in the locker room, then he's got to
go.
He's got to go.
You're right. 100%.
I mean, fuck that. You know, you got it. You're not going to win the series already, but damn, you're really setting yourself. And when's he going to start doing it? At the NBA break, he's going to start talking to, you know, like, dude, if that's true, though, if that turns out to be a true thing, oh, my God. Wow.
That would be,
wow.
I don't know. It'd be interesting. And I mean, I think to kind of go to the future, I mean, we've discussed finals pretty well. I think the next hot topic, which we could even do like a 30-minute show on the summer we want to, is now turns into LeBron 2018. And I think they'll probably take a week off because he's probably going to want to go hide away for a little bit. But I'd say after about a week at most, it's going to turn into Ben Windhorst on ESPN. Commenting daily, along with reports of who's pampering the king, and I'm just gonna throw my pick out there so we can have it on like audio record. If we do, I think that he's going to go to Houston. I know that they'd have to really swing their books around, but that's my pick because I think in his mind
they don't
he
give
wants
a shit about that stuff either. Clearly, you know, they don't care about money.
Yeah, so I think he'd want to go to a team that's the most competitive. I think he'd value a guy like with playing with Chris Paul and James Harden more so than Embiid and Simmons. I don't know, that's
good
my gut call. I think
it'd
have
give
to
him
get
a chance
rid of
to grow
Capella.
Old, you know?
Yeah.
He needs a place he can grow old to. And he was so ready to give Kyrie the go ahead and he could lead in scoring and all that. But obviously that didn't work out, but keep going, sorry.
And I think that the L.A. angle, Chris, I think the only reason that's tough is because you know he doesn't want to go to a rebuilding team. And I think if he goes to L.A. Lakers, he's going to need to bring people with him. And then it does get a little more difficult simply due to the fact that he has to make money match up. The team has to go along with you, and not that, like, the Lakers would say, hey, LeBron, we're not going to let you bring in PG or something. But
right.
I think that's a little more difficult.
Well, you still
got to
figure it out. You can put the team together,
yeah.
But he knows, damn, it's a process. It may take this full first year to even look like you could get to the conference final. You never know. You know what I mean? Whereas at least Houston, he's the type of player that can blend into a team because he's an all-purpose player.
Yeah, exactly. And you'd be joining a team of veterans with LA. You're going to a core of players that are incredibly young, and LeBron doesn't want to waste a year or two of not contending. To which,
right? I'm with you there.
The only way to kind of go back and
forth, I think the LA thing is silly.
True, but I guess if you do go to the East, which is possible with Boston or Philly. That does make your path of getting back there easier. I mean, you're still going to be facing the probably Golden State or Houston potentially. It could be either of those teams, or if the Spurs could bring someone in and regroup, because you honestly can never truly count them out if they can hold on to Kawhi. I would say if he goes east, that does make it to wherever he goes will be better. If LeBron goes to Boston, Boston's easily the number one seed. If LeBron goes to Philly, I would have obviously favor Philly over Boston.
And they They could probably get home court overall, too, if he went to Boston.
Yeah, absolutely. So it'll just be fun to see that. Obviously, Paul George is a guy that maybe will try to join LeBron. I'm not sure if Boogie is friends with LeBron, but he's kind of been shopping around, too. So I think, and as old as it gets, it will be kind of fun to eventually see maybe over the 4th of July weekend, like, where he goes. The time up until then does get old, and, I mean, you and I are guys that love basketball. I'd say, top 10% in the country, even more. Like, we truly enjoy the sport, talking about it, watching it, blah, blah, blah. But for the next 3 weeks, it is going to get, like, where's LeBron going today? That stuff does kind of go over the top and crap. And I guess to
quickly
wrap up,
luckily Durant's
come
out and said it too, that he's staying. That takes something off of it too, because if you add Durant and LeBron and then a mixture of other people, and some people have to decide if they like Carmelo, it's really rough for Oklahoma City because it's like it's up to me if I want to stay and get overpaid. You know what I mean? Like, that's rough. Like it would suck to be that. There's a lot of intrigue, man. It's going to be an interesting summer.
Yeah, I've heard some people say, Chris, that, well, why does LeBron stay at Cleveland and bring boys with him? And in my opinion, and obviously we don't know LeBron that well or anything, we're not insiders, but I think that Daniel Gilbert crossed him over so bad that his main goal of going back to Cleveland was to achieve a title and rebuild his name for the PR image, whether you hate him for that or not. I think he's accomplished that. So I don't think he wants to spend any more time with Dan Gilbert. I think that
roster now. You can't what are you going to move? Trish Thompson? You can't move it. You know what I mean? Like, there's nothing. They don't have a bunch of cap space to bring people in. So,
you couldn't bring in Paul George and Boogie or something. There's not enough room. And because, when they won the Eastern Conference Game 7 against Boston, when they had their little podium thing, all the guys were shaking Gilbert's hands. LeBron did one of those, like a girl walking past you in the club, like maybe even like
for
half a second. One of those, like, oh, dude, no, I'm good. See ya. Peace.
Right.
So,
totally.
That's not
exactly
something.
Is. For obvious reasons, there's still plenty.
Yeah.
I mean, his family didn't want him to go back,
No.
That's how
absolutely.
Deep it gets.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was really mature of him to say, you know what? In this situation, it makes a lot of sense. I can put up with this shit just for the fan, the Cleveland fan base, Ohio fan base. So I'm glad he did it though. I'm glad. And the writing was on the wall, dude. People forget that Wade was like on one leg, dude. That last year and a half, dude.
Oh yeah.
Wade was not anywhere near the same player. Not even fucking close. And that's why you kind of envision, well, shit, dude, they have space. Kyrie's that guy. This is perfect. So now you look at it and go, who's there that's going to – it's just not workable in Cleveland. It just isn't. No matter what you think about it, it just doesn't – it's not there. And the only way you're going to beat Golden State, they're a super team. You know, last year or 2 years ago when they had Durant, that's when I started – you know, that 73-game season, I didn't want to – I wouldn't allow them to say they could beat the Bulls because of the lineups. Once you put Ron Harper out there, they're not beating that team the way they were built. Now, I remember saying, now you could actually look at some of these teams from the past and line them up against this team once you added Durant to what was already established as an elite-level team. That's different. Well, the only way – I know people can be pissed about it, but the only way to beat a super team is with the super team. And it has to be close to your prime super team too. You know, some people go back and look at that Laker team I was talking about earlier. It's like, dude, Malone was so old.
Oh, God.
Dude. Like, old.
Yeah.
And same with Gary.
Yep.
These guys were not late in their prime. They were way past it. And, it was on their fourth year, and the roster had, kind of all their spare parts. Horry had gone to the Spurs, and, a lot of their spare parts had either – retired or moved on to with better contracts, like what was his name? George. What was his first name? He went to Dallas, because he could actually get a big contract and get something he's more worthy of instead of being just a role player and that type of thing. And that type of stuff happens. It happens. They weren't as deep with the bench as they had been or different parts this year with Golden State, and they'll have to retool a little bit that way, but. That's the only way you can do it. So you can hate LeBron for moving again, but dude, there's the only way that don't you want to see a team to go head to head with them? Wasn't that Houston fucking conference final fun because you actually thought, hey, Golden State possibly could lose here. Wait a second.
Yeah,
exactly. It made you think. It made you think. It gave you hope. Whatever. Why don't you just kind of. Get anything else that you want out. I want to remind the audience that we'll be back. That's the thing about the NBA. Hey, by the way, the draft's coming up. It's like, oh, shit, the draft's here. Holy shit. It really comes up on you. You're just like, oh, shit, the draft's here. So we're not going to do a show breaking down the draft. We're going to do a show previewing the draft. We're going to do a show when the draft happens. And so we can break it all down instead of speculating. And then – chunk of time will go by. We have that last free agency show. You never know. Things could happen. Wild things could happen to where we'd have one deeper in the summer. But I just want to remind the audience to stick with us for a couple more shows before we shut it down for several weeks. But why don't you just kind of, get whatever you want to get out for the rest of the show here, man.
Yeah, I just another good year. Like you said, if injuries can keep staying away, they're gonna be a team we'll be talking out again. I love Klay Thompson. He was on with SVP on SportsCenter after the game, and he's like just chilling and eating popcorn without like a care in the world. Like you would have known they just won a title. He's always been my favorite guy, so I'm happy that he got another ring. And even my dad was like saying, Durant looks like he's a kid celebrating Christmas. That dude was smiling like more than almost anyone on the post game show and the press conference. Got the MVP. So, I mean, from his perspective, I know he took massive amount of heat and everything, but your goal in sports is to win titles, and he has accomplished that so far that he's been here. A lot of people said, well, if he goes to Golden State, he's got to win. Well, he's done that part for his team. So, as much as I give the guy a hard time. As an athlete, that's your goal, is to win championships and be remembered, and he's doing that. So it caps off a nice season. I do think the NBA, as you've said throughout the show, is still going the right direction. Hopefully a guy like, Antetokounmpo can start to become maybe more popular or have the books become grown, because I think that guy could be another all-star that it'd be nice to talk about more often on our playoff show. I know we mentioned him briefly this year, but and Westbrook, he's probably going to be going somewhere. So I think when we do our NBA show next year, it's going to be just as fun. And wherever LeBron does go, it probably will be another super team or a team that could put up a great fight. So I'm not complaining. Signing off again with Golden State winning the title, Chris. I'm fine with that. I like you said, though, the Houston series was more dramatic than the LeBron one. So another good series, brother. But the cool thing about NBA, you know, is that who knows where all the people are going to go. I would imagine that everyone's going to wait for the ball to drop and see where LeBron signs. Or maybe, you know, or he can join with some buddies and discuss stuff. So we'll see. But that'll be an incredibly fun show. I believe that the signing for all the free agencies right around the 4th of July or a little bit after that weekend. So that weekend, when hopefully we're all taking in sun and barbecue and playing golf or something, that could be a very fun show to do because wherever he goes, it's going to make a splash for someone and everyone can guess up until then. But besides LeBron, no one knows. So, it'll be a fun show, brother. I can't wait to do that, and it's been fun doing another basketball season with you. College football is not far away, and I think that pretty much sums it up. Chris and I, like you said, we'll be back very, very soon. I know it seems like a little bit of a time off, but that free agent show is huge, and the draft is huge, and sadly, next thing you know, college football is not too far away. So thanks for listening to our NBA podcast again. We love doing this playoff show. It's a lot of fun. Hopefully, maybe next year we can get like a Game 7 NBA Finals because that'd be a little more enjoyable. But until then, as always, thanks for listening. Enjoy your weekend. Hey, watch if a horse killing the Triple Crown tonight too. Make it a good sport weekend for you. The boys are out. Peace.